I'm here with Anna Hodson at Kinderhook Farm. Could you give me some background on Kinderhook Farm? And
So Kinderhook Farm has existed in its current form for about 9-10 years now. Stephen Renee Clearman bought the farm and owned the land, and they are partners in this enterprise with Lee and Georgia Rani. The farm has cattle, sheep, pigs, and chickens, so it's all livestock, and it's all pasture-based. So the cattle and the sheep are exclusively grass-fed, and the chickens and pigs are free-range out on pasture all their lives.
And I wanted to talk to you about the farm stay. Do you know how the idea originated?
Stephen Renee Clearman owned Kinderhook Farm. They own land and are partners in the entity of Kinderhook Farm. And the farm has always been very open to people coming to see, as well as coming to buy food from the store, but also is a very transparent place in terms of people understanding agriculture and where their food comes from. And I think that the idea came from that. The farm is also a really beautiful place, I think.
It really is.
And I think, you know, sharing that with people as well is part of the reason for its existence, to make this private place, you know, a more public space.
Mm-hmm. What could I expect if I came for a farm stay?
So when people come to the farm for the farm stay, they get to stay on the farm surrounded by the animals and the open pastoral landscape that creates. And they also get to partake in the activities that we do every day. So like our daily chores, they help. I mean, to whatever extent they want, helping put the chickens out in the morning, bring them in, feed them, water them, collecting eggs. With the pigs, we go check the pigs every day, feed the pigs. Especially on hot days like today when it's 90 degrees, the pigs really need to wallow. So we create water wallows for them, so they help us with that as well. The sheep also are moved onto new grass every day, so people often come to do that with us, to help us make sure all the lambs move with their mothers. We have two livestock guardian dogs that live with the sheep, and they're a great hit because they're super friendly and really fun to feed and to watch interact with the sheep. And then the cattle also, obviously we move those to new grass, and we have one dairy cow called Lucy who people can come and hand milk at the farm stay as well. So there is a bunch of activities that they can be involved in.
Sounded like some people have different levels of engagement in that.
A lot of people come to the farm stay because they want to come to the farm and they want to experience, you know, working with the animals and understanding where their food comes from and what is involved in its production. So a lot of people really want to join in those tasks, but then there are some people who just want to come and enjoy, you know, the pastoral kind of ambience, and they, you know, hang out, they take walks around the farm, or, you know, just and they keep to themselves, and that's fine too, we don't mind.
So everything in between.
Everything in between, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a lot of children that are very excited about, you know, being involved in,
I can imagine it must be amazing for children.
Yeah, I mean,
do you find that's a majority of your people, the people who come and stay are families?
Majority are definitely families with young children, yeah. There's something for everybody if they're interested in being involved. And, you know, many families have younger, you know, say 5-year-olds through till, you know, young teenagers, and all have been catered to. I think. I hope. They seem happy, so.
Right. And do you see other benefits for people who come and stay, other than seeing the source of their food? I just always wonder about, how therapeutic it must be to...
Yeah, I think that sometimes, the experience is also for people beyond interacting with their food and agriculture, but just that they live in a city and don't get to be in spaces like this that often. Open spaces that they can, run around, and not a public park, and that's very different for a lot of children that come here. They don't have, the experience of just wandering around a space so open, and so I think that can be really different.
There must be a feeling of authenticity too, to have, they're really working with you. You're really working on the farm.
This is
not a petting zoo.
This is not a petting zoo. It's a real working farm, and we have animals that we really genuinely need to look after and make sure that they get everything they need in a day. So, whilst we are trying to provide people with a great farming experience, everything that happens on a farm, we have to deal with the, life and death,
Does that provide a challenge? Is that one of the challenges?
Well, I think it can be. Because we had a hen earlier this year that sat on a bunch of eggs, was broody. She brooded them for 21 days, sat on all these eggs, too many eggs, really. So only one hatched. And so she was in our chicken coop. She was separated from the other hens to raise this chick so that, they wouldn't... hens can be really mean sometimes and pick on other hens or other chicks, other hens' chicks. And this family was here, and we took them to see the chick, and they were so excited about the chick, and they held the chick, and they were really, And the next day, the chick... I don't know what happened. It had something on the side of its face, like it had got, like an abscess or something on its eye, and it just started really going downhill. And these children had really bonded with this chick and were so excited about it, and the chick died. And then they were like, we want to see the chick, where's the chick?
Oh, that's all.
And so, that's a real kind of, I found that really difficult, because you don't know what their interaction has been with death, and they were young children, and you're kind of like, I have to deal with this with the mother, it's like,
it is
a challenge.
Like I said, it's a real play, it's a real farm, so you have these real life and death situations.
Right, that's the truth of it. We hope that doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. And so it's actually really cool. And we talked about it with the children, and they wanted to bury the chick, and we buried the chick, and we had and it was fine,
right?
But that's something that is kind of a little unusual experience for kids who are not used to livestock and farm life. And
it's such a beautiful place. Is there something that makes a farm more or less suitable for a farm stay location? Why does this work?
Well, I think this farm is, I know I alluded to this already, but it's a very open space, and a farm open to visitors and to sharing this landscape and this experience with people. We have a very nice space here that people can come, you know, when you enter the farm. There's spaces to park your car and to walk around. So the topography of the place almost lends itself to people being here, which, you know, not necessarily all farms do, but, you know, this does have a nice little kind of downtown space that people can come to. And I think that really makes a difference.
Can I take a look at the...
We can maybe wander back there and go look.
Beat the storm, hopefully.
Yes.
And what's your background in terms of your role here at the farm?
Well, I'm the shepherd here at Kinderhook Farm, and so my main responsibility is for the sheep flock here. We all do a little bit of everything here because, I mean, with farming you have to help with what needs to be, you know, there's more than anyone can do by themselves, but my main responsibility is the sheep. We actually raise hare sheep here. They're a breed called Dorper, and a hare sheep basically sheds its wool. They grow wool in the winter and then they shed it themselves. So the idea is they don't need to be sheared.
Yeah.
Although we actually end up shearing our sheep mostly because they're not purebred and they don't reliably shed, and we don't like them to be stressed if they can't get rid of all their wool by the time it's 90 degrees like it is today. So, but the wool is very coarse and it's not of any real value.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They're a breed that is bred to do well exclusively on grass. So that's because that fits with our operation and our desire to pasture these sheep.
How did you end up here at Kinderhook Farm?
sort of by accident. I came to the U.S. from the U.K. to work as a textile conservator at the National Museum of the American Indian in D.C.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my previous profession, was conserving textiles, so looking after textile collections for museums and preventing them from deteriorating. And then I had to take some time off while I was getting my green card, and I wasn't able to work, legally able to work at that time. So I volunteered on a farm because I've always been very interested in where my food comes from and raising livestock particularly. And so that was kind of a life-changing experience for me, and I decided I wanted to be involved in agriculture. I didn't quite realize that it was going to involve doing it full-time. My husband and I came to live on the farm so that I could raise chickens and vegetables, and I just kind of fell in love with this place and the sheep here, and here I am. So
it's where the farm stay facilities are. Oh my God, it's gorgeous. We have this incredible view of rolling hills and woods and pastures with cows grazing, and then we have in the yard here we have little beautiful little lambs that are bottle fed. So we talk about close to the action.
Right.
And I see this hammock.
The lambs
here
are not supposed to be in the yard, but they
they find a way.
They find the way, and often they're not discouraged from doing so by the farm stayers, so that doesn't help keeping them in. But
okay.
Okay, good boy.
So this is the and who designed the? This looks like a converted barn.
Yeah. So this is one of the barns that was on the farm, and Renee Clearman designed the interior of this, and she did a beautiful job. So it's one big open space. So there is an eating area and a kitchen, and some combined social areas, I guess, like a living room area. And then there are two queen beds. And then, so they're within the space. And then there are curtains to kind of partition the space into more private areas.
And all screens here, the whole front. The whole front is all screen doors, so you really have a...
So you can have this great vista of the farm, right. And providing it's not raining, right. You can keep them open, and it's really nice to kind of sleep, you know, with that kind of feeling of being almost outside.
Right.
Yeah. But not quite, but yeah, exactly.
And has it been a popular thing, the farmstay?
The farmstay has been incredibly popular. This is the third year now, and we have repeat visitors for all those 3 years, and we are pretty much booked out from the day it opens, May through October.
And that's the season, May through October.
That's the season, yeah. The weather is very unpredictable, and you know, that impacts people who stay in the farmstay, as well as what is happening, you know, on the farm, because how much grass we have, where we're grazing the animals, whether they need to be in the barn or outside, all of those things are dictated by weather and the conditions that creates for the grass to grow. Right. So, you know, it's really an evolving and unpredictable situation out there.
Well, which makes it a fun place to come back to, because you'll never stay here twice the same way.
Probably. And we have one family this year who came. Actually, they were here last weekend. They stayed for 4 or 5 days. A couple with 2 girls, and they're coming back in September. And so they can see how, you know, all the lambs that they saw just now, who are now about 2 months old, you know, what they're going to be like when they're 4, 6 months old, and you know how the whole nature of the farm changes over that time. So that'll be really fun to share that with them.
That's great. That's cool.
They were particularly excited farmstayers about being involved with the farm,
and
you know, they were really like, we want to do it. We want to do it all. So.
Oh, that's great. Because it is nice that people can kind of come and say, well, I'm ready for this, but I'm not really ready for it.
Right. Yes. So. And I mean, we try and involve people to whatever level they are, you know, interested and able to do.
My final question is about the farm stayer. I mean, is there anything they should be prepared for in terms of doing a farm stay well as a farm stayer? Is there anything to that? Or any expectations they should have that might help them?
Interesting question. Well, appropriate footwear is always good. I'll say that. Covered toes are always a good thing, especially with the pigs who want to kind of bite your toes. So this is a genuine working farm. And that's what's particularly special about it, I think. But that does mean that farmstayers need to be flexible about what happens in a day, because things change. We have to respond to what the animals need and what's happening. You know, we are working and the animals are working too. And so...
Yeah, well, it's not like Epcot where it's like we're creating this...
Right.
Yeah, 9 a.m. It's feed the, you know, things might change. They might meet, people need to flex, and things happen at a farm.
Yes.
There's demand.
Right. So yeah, I mean, it's a really cool experience people want, you know, and to experience that rather than, you know, a petting zoo.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful place, and I appreciate you taking your time out during a farm working day to talk with me. So.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's been fun.